Holy Spirit, your presence is tangible amongst us. And Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We bless your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you have a word for each one of us tonight. A word of encouragement, a word to build us up. A word to set us on our way. A word from you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to just be talking on one verse from Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. I'm hoping tonight that I'm not going to be doing all the work. I thought tonight that we'd have space for personal testimony if the Spirit so leads us. And so I'm going to be doing a bit of talking, but I'm hoping that you'll feel encouraged to share something of your own journey tonight. It's always good to share a word of testimony because we learn, we encourage each other, and we support each other through that. So we're going to be... I'll be doing a bit of talking, we'll be sharing some testimony, and then there is going to be time afterwards to pray in our groups, to share with each other about our journey and to pray and support each other. So I think tonight I've got two questions from this verse. How do we recognise the Holy Spirit's leading us? And how do we know God's will for our lives? But I think we need to start, we need to have a starting point. And one of the verses that's come to me this week is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And God has given us a divine destiny. He has plans for our lives, and he's got a future and a hope for us. And we each have a unique calling and a true purpose, and we need to discover what that is and how to walk in it. And we can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit, because without him we can do nothing. And so it all starts with that personal relationship with God, that direct fellowship, that intimate walk with the Lord Jesus. We need to have knowledge of the Father's ways. And we all know that we do that through prayer and Bible study, taking time with the Lord and being with each other as we encourage and lift each other up. It's interesting that this verse says, "May your good spirit lead me." And we need to remember that God is good. God wants the best for us. God is not against us, he is for us. And we sang that in a song this morning. If God is with us, who can be against us? And we really need to take that on board and hold that close to our hearts. God doesn't speak in riddles, but we do need to learn to listen to God's voice. And the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. And I think it is about raising that awareness within ourselves, tuning our ears into God's spirit and hearing his voice for us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our guide and our teacher. He is our helper and our counsellor. And the Holy Spirit is described as good because we can rely upon him. We can trust him. We can be confident in his direction. When our lives are in God's hands, nothing will happen outside his providence or his allowance. But we also need to recognise our own condition. We all go through difficulties in life, and we need to recognise what is the nature and the cause of those problems or difficulties that we face. And I think, I wonder, where are we weak? Where do we struggle? Are we people pleasers? Are we workaholics? Do we take on too much sometimes? Are we too driven? Or do we like the easy life? And sometimes those sort of things can get in the way of what God's true calling on our lives is. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But it doesn't always feel like that in the Christian life, does it? Sometimes it can just feel like we've got far too much on. And I think that's because sometimes we operate outside what God's will is for our lives. So it's about recognising that when we're in the will of God, that is a safe and secure place to be. And God will give us all the provision that we need, all the skills that we need to do the work that he's called us to do. But we have to be careful that we are doing his will and not things that we think are a good idea. And we all fall into that trap at times. So I wonder how quick we are to ask for God's help and direction. We do need to be secure in who we are in Christ. We need to have that knowledge that we belong to Christ, that we can then trust him for our lives. And I think in all of this, we have a choice. Do we do it our way? Do we do it God's way? Do we resist the Holy Spirit, or are we obedient? Are there times in our lives when we're self-sufficient, or are we totally dependent upon God? If we allow God to move in our lives and move us out of those difficulties that we face, then we'll see more victory, more breakthrough, more effective ministries. So it's about trusting God, being confident in God, recognising that he wants the best for us and he is on our side. And we have to always keep going back to God, don't we? Even if we've heard God and we're involved in a ministry that's going forward, we have to keep saying, is this still your will for my life? Am I still in the place where you want me to be, God? Because we can so easily become self-reliant and then we start to work in the flesh and not in the spirit. So we need to maintain that teachable and humble spirit and walk in God's ways. So how do we recognise the Holy Spirit leading us? Well, one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit speaks to us is that witness in our spirit. Romans 8, 14 and 16 says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit himself testifies or bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children." So that's saying that God is speaking directly into our spirits. The Holy Spirit transmits knowledge. And when we have that witness in our spirit about something, there's a strong inner knowing. How many of you have had that feeling that you just know that you know that you know that it's God? How many of you had that? You just know that God has spoken to you about something specific, but you just know it's from God. You can't always quantify it, but you just know that God is there speaking to you about something. You know without a shadow of a doubt. And when we have that witness in our spirit, it brings illumination. And there's usually a strength of conviction when we have that feeling deep within. We do have to recognise, though, times when that might come out of our own consciousness, our own heads, our own imagination, or our own emotions. It is about recognising that prompt is from the Holy Spirit and not from ourselves. And that comes with time, it comes with experience. But usually when we have that witness in our spirits, there's that knowledge and understanding, that supernatural enlightenment. God also leads us by the Holy Spirit. We can have that prompting in our spirit. Matthew 4, verse 1 says this, that when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit can give us these leadings on what to do or what not to do. So how many of you have that sense of being prompted to do something specific? Sometimes it can be a gentle nudge. Sometimes it can really feel like God's saying, right, go down there, get on with it. So it can range in how God prompts you on that. How many of you have felt God nudging you in a certain direction and you think, no, that's not what God's saying. And then day after day, you get the same nudging, you're reading the same scriptures that are coming up, or you're reading something in your daily notes, and it's just God's really pointing his finger on something and saying, this is the way, walk in it. He does keep telling us until he gets our attention on these things. Sometimes we get the opposite of that. Sometimes you can get that prompting not to do a certain thing and you feel an agitation in your spirit or you lose your peace. So if there's no witness or a definite no, then you do get it's a definite sort of feeling that you mustn't go in a certain direction. So that's like a warning in your spirit. So sometimes God says a very definite stop or no, or he'll tell you to wait. It's that feeling of don't proceed. And sometimes that can actually be a protection from physical danger. Sometimes it can even be things like you're driving your car in a certain direction, you just have a feeling not to go down a certain road, or, you know, I don't know if you've experienced something like that, but it's very often God's way of keeping you out of danger or a difficult situation. Sometimes it can be in a conversation. Have you ever started a conversation with somebody and you're going to say something and you just have that feeling in your spirit that you mustn't say what you were planning to say, either because it's wrong to say it or the timing's wrong, or, you know, it's just not right at that point to say a certain thing. And we have to learn to listen to those warnings. Sometimes we can even get a physical manifestation in our spirit. Sometimes you can get that churning of your stomach or butterflies if God's putting a warning in your spirit not to do something. So we can just test that, see if we've got peace about it, whether God, you feel God's leading you to go or to not go. And what about when you read scripture and it can sometimes just leap up off the page? That's called when God quickens something, makes something alive. So it can be reading scripture, it can be listening to a sermon, it can be reading a Christian book. It's like God just really pinpoints something that you've read, and that really speaks into the situation that you're in or going through, or you're wanting advice over. And it's then that the Holy Spirit is leading you. And as I said earlier, you'll find time and time again that scriptures are coming up about that situation. So we need to grab hold of those times, examine what we think God is saying to us, mull it over, ask God, is this what you're saying to me about this situation? It's God trying to get our attention. So with all of that, we have to test it against scripture. Whatever God will tell us to do, it will always line up with scripture, because God will not act contrary to what scripture says. We know that God's word is infallible, and we must measure all of our decisions against that. So if we're asking the question, where is God leading me? We need to be thinking, does this decision or course of action build up God's kingdom? Does it glorify God? Will this decision honour God? Will this decision be a stumbling block for others? Is it a distraction? Again, we just line it up with scripture, because God's word is the ultimate source of wisdom, and we have to search the scripture, meditate upon it, if we're to know God's direction. And another thing that I think is important is seasons. We all live our lives in seasons, and it's about recognising the season that you're in at this moment. There is an appointed time for all things. When a season starts, when you're going into something new, you find that ideas flow. The work is effortless, there's fruit in that, and there's success and blessings, and you have a deep sense of peace. So we can be asking ourselves, is there fruit in my life as I'm serving God in this way? Is there more love and joy and peace? What are my attitudes and actions at the moment? Are the ideas flowing? Am I seeing growth? And when a season comes to an end, that's not to say God's not going to use you anymore, because very often he moves us into a new area, a new ministry. So when a season ends, you usually find that the anointing and the grace that you had for that work starts to dwindle. It lifts. The tasks feel less rewarding. It's more of a struggle. There's less peace. And I think it's really important to recognise what seasons we're in. Because then we know if we're in God's will for our life. And so often God will use us for a season, for a while, in a certain ministry, and then move us on into something else. And we always must be looking for those new seasons that God has planned for you. And I think nothing is wasted in God's kingdom. Whatever skills and giftings he's given us, we find that we use them in different times along our Christian walk. So, over to you guys. Would anybody like to share anything about how they've recognised God's leading for a certain situation, how they've recognised the prompting of the Spirit in their lives? You can come up to the front if you want, or I've got the mic if you want to stay where you are. Just share a few words. Otherwise, you'll have to listen to me for another 5 minutes. Come on, Annie.
I will get the ball rolling, just to get you all encouraged to come forward. This is very, very recent. When I'm looking after Mum, it takes a lot of time, and I get started on something and have to drop it immediately. And so as a result of that, a lot of my house is a total tip, and it needs a lot of attention and time, and I never seem to get the time. And then I had a letter, an email from somebody who asked if she could come and stay next Monday. And I thought, usually I'd be absolutely delighted, but this friend is, she's used to very, very fine way of life, and I think she'd just step into my house and run away. And my instinct was to say, no, sorry, can't, I'm too busy, or whatever. So I didn't reply straight away, which is not like me, and I kind of mulled it over a bit, and I felt God saying to me, is there something wrong with that? No. I felt God saying to me, this is not what you're here for. This is not true hospitality. And I looked around, and I thought, yes, I could shove it all into a room and shut the door, and she would be none the wiser. And this is a lady who actually mixes with royalty, and so I'm a bit worried about her even exploring and me saying, no, you can't go in there. So that was fine. I'd got a solution. And then about 3 days ago, I got another email from another lady who's never been to stay with me before, and I don't know her really. I know her as a lovely lady, but that's the room I would have put her in. And she asked if she could come and stay as well. So I wrote an email that said, what a shame. You know, we've got somebody else staying. And then I thought, I can't do that. Email got scrapped. And I am being prompted seriously, and I know exactly where the prompting is coming from. It's about showing hospitality in the way that Jesus wants us to do it. So I've said yes, and I'm going to manage. But I really feel that there's no escape. I can't kind of hide. I have to be me, warts and all.
It's about being obedient, isn't it? And I'm sure God will give you the time that you need. He will honour that. He'll give you the time that you need this week to get your house sorted out and the space to where to put everything. Yeah. In some way, and I should try and have one
off the other. Yeah. Anybody else? Hi, I think some of you might have heard this, but just made me think about God talking to me in when I came to visit Timothy and Leanne. Must be just over a year ago, and I sat in over there and listening to the word, singing and thinking, I love this worship. I wish I could be here all the time. And God said to me in my heart, well, you could be. I thought, oh, never crossed my mind. I thought, that's not God. Anyway, I just finished the service, and then I went out and had coffee. Everybody was so welcoming, but Annie's mum, Hillary, was sitting there, and I was chatting to her, and she was telling me how she moved to be near her family, and I thought, is God telling me something? I don't want to move to Derby, although I love my kids very much, but I was quite happy where I was. But when I went back home, I just prayed about it, and I had this such a peace that God was saying, this is the time to move. You've had your family home, your family have grown up, this is time for you, and you need to move out. And God was so good to me, and I thought, I kept saying, I don't want to go, but God had found me somewhere to live, and now permanently somewhere I was renting, somewhere eventually that I've be able to move in and just say, this is my home and this is where God wants me. And I just praise God that I could hear what God was saying to me eventually.
Thank you, Linda.
I will try and be brief, but the purpose of this testimony is just to point up how I'm sure we've all had those experiences where we felt in like a split second God was asking us to do something and we have a choice. Do we actually, if it means moving or getting up or travelling or going to visit someone or making a phone call, and we can either choose to do it or we can choose to pray about it and wait and see what happens. And sometimes if we choose to pray about it and wait, the moment actually disappears and whatever God was trying to orchestrate at that time will not happen in the way he was intending it to. And this is just a bit of an illustration from my church up in the Dales, where I knew a lady and I prayed with her about her very, very sick husband. And then because I'm down here and up there, I'm not on the phone to them all the time, so I didn't know what had happened. And I was looking forward to my Friday afternoon of total peace in the cottage, reading and praying and being deeply holy. And I said, well, pray for Eileen and David. And this thought came into my mind, pray for them. Ring the woman up. Don't just pray for her. Ring her up. Find out if, because she's quite a recent friend. Find out how she is. I ring up. And it was absolutely compulsive that I must ring this number. And I said, how's David? Oh, you don't know. She said, he died last night. So it's like, ooh, shock. I'm not from the village, so that would have got round the village like wildfire, but it didn't reach me. And so I just said to her, Eileen, I'm coming over. And so she said, oh, my family is here. But because she puts her phone on loud, they could hear. And they were in the background and they said, oh, no, we'll go out, it's all right. So I was in the privileged position of being able to go and pray with her. But the context of this is that the family, who were absolutely opposed to anything Christian, had descended upon her and were beginning to, in a kindly sort of way, bully her about how the funeral was going to be. They were trying to railroad all the ideas that her husband had had about what he wanted. They were trying to choose things on her behalf. And they were basically trying to just come in and take over the whole situation. She was absolutely distraught. Because of the tension in the household, they'd used my phone call to make themselves scarce and go to the pub. And it was amazing. I had 2 whole hours with her to discuss and to pray and to get everything in context and help, through the Lord's help, give her the confidence to stand up to them. And they came back. And so I was able to witness this sort of gentle, kind bullying, which was very, very assertive. And the fact that God just happened to choose me to go. Maybe if I hadn't said yes, he would have chosen someone else to go. But I was uniquely placed because I didn't know them well. And I think other people who said, oh no, the family are there, we're not going, because they were scared of the scary daughter, who was very scary. Even I found her scary. So I shared that with house group because I was just so grateful that it was just, I had the opportunity to say yes and not just make the phone call but go. And it led to a whole sequence of events, which meant I met the family, I played at the funeral. You know, it just all rolled on. So sometimes just one little thought, God has got plans for that thought that he wants to mobilize you straight away.
I just thought I'd kind of put a slightly different take on this whole thing, just a little bit, because this hearing the Spirit and doing his will, it could be quite scary, because we've had some fantastic stories of and testimonies of things that they heard the Spirit, did something and it went well. Sometimes we think we hear the Spirit and maybe we don't. But we do something anyway, and what happens? So this is really quickly. I remember actually being up in Manchester. I was on Pays, actually, where Josh is now. There you go. But I was in Manchester, not Wigan. And I remember going, just thinking, we've been talking about just hearing God and doing what he did. And I thought, well, I'm going to go for a walk, and I'm going to get every junction I'm at, left or right or straight on. I'm going to see what I feel. And I got to the first. It was, I can't remember now, say it was left. So I went left, right. And I ended up at a dead end, nowhere, and nothing was there. And I was like, oh, that's good. And I went home, which is great. It was a nice walk. But what I thought from that, what I learned from that and since, is it's not always about getting it right. It's about being obedient to what we feel God is saying. And Mike Pilavachi always says this at Soul Survivor when he's giving words of wisdom, words of knowledge out, or saying, I feel somebody needs prayer for this or whatever. And he always says, you know what? I don't know if it's right. I'm going to say it anyway. What's the worst going to happen? No one's going to die if I say this and I get it wrong. I might look a bit silly, but I've said it. And it's just a little sort of, it's about being obedient, even if we don't really know, or maybe if we get it wrong sometimes, that's all right. But you might miss the times when you do. So.
Tim's absolutely right. Absolutely right, because there are times when we think we've heard God and we've not. And it's okay. That is absolutely okay, because there are times when God asks us to test the water. We've got to step out in faith. And we're sort of hoping that this is God's will for us. And sometimes it is, you know, but there are occasions when we get it wrong. But we learn from those times. We can learn from those times. So I think none of us should be worried about getting it wrong, because as Tim said, it's not the end of the world. Nobody's going to die. But it's just about being obedient to God and doing what we think God's calling us to do. But that's why we, you know, in certain circumstances, we can test it against Scripture. There are those times when we get that spontaneous thing, do this now. That happened to me years ago. A friend who was going through a very difficult marriage, and I was sitting at home, and I suddenly had this urge that I needed to go around and make sure she was safe. And this urge was in my mind, and I thought, I've got to go and just drive around there. And I drove around, and she wasn't in. And I thought, what was all that about? But I thought, if I didn't go, how would I feel if anything had happened to her? I don't know to this day what that was about. I guess it was just in my mind, my own thoughts and feelings, that maybe she's not safe. I don't know. But yeah, sometimes you feel a bit of a plonker, but hey-ho, you know, it's the way it goes. So, yeah, that's why we need each other, isn't it, as well? We can pray for each other, we can support each other, we can test these things out with each other. And when we're asking what is God's will for our lives, I think it either starts with a question where we're saying, do you want me to do this, Lord? What's the decision I need to make here? Do I take this job? Do I marry this person? Do I get involved with this ministry? So we can either ask a question, or sometimes God seems to put opportunities in our path. Somebody will say, oh, I think you'll be good at this, or why don't you try this out? And then we go back to God and we say, is this your will, God? Is this where you want me to go? And I had this when I was asked to be a steward. I really was determined I was not going to be a steward. And I'd made my mind up that this wasn't God's calling for my life. And Gareth kept pulling my leg about it. He kept saying, oh, have you decided yet? You know, has God put his finger on you yet? And I was saying, oh, don't expect a positive response, you know. And God sort of spoke to me over a few weeks. But, you know, it was amazing, because I really didn't think being a steward was right for me. And I thought, oh, it's too much hard work. But God totally turned my attitude around towards it. He just turned me around. And I just started to think, yeah, I could really get on board with this. I can contribute. I can give some good ideas. I can maybe make a difference. I don't know. I'm still finding my way with it. But I do know I'm enjoying it. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But sometimes it is about testing the water and seeing what doors God opens for us, you know. And just taking it one step at a time, because it, very often it's not in our timing, it's always in God's timing. And God will only take you one step at a time. And in our human nature, we want to see the big picture now. We want to know it all now. But God very rarely works in that way. He will take us one step at a time. And one of the verses that's come to me a lot this year is from Habakkuk 2, verse 3. And I heard this at Bible Week earlier in the year. And it says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay." And I think that revelation is talking about God showing his will for our lives, showing his purpose and plans for us. And I love that verse back in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you," because that talks of multiple plans. It's not just one plan. And I think sometimes God's like a sat-nav. You know, and we may deviate off the main road and go off down some little alleyway somewhere, but God always has a way of bringing us back. He always brings us back in line with his will. And so, as Tim says, it doesn't matter too much if we stuff up, you know, because it is about being obedient to God and trying to honour him in all that we do, and learning along the way. And as we go through ups and downs in life, we do learn. And one last thing I want to say is, it's interesting in this psalm, the last little bit says, "Lead me on level ground." And I got thinking about, what is this level ground? And I thought, maybe the level ground is leading us in a life where we don't have any problems, but that is not real life, because we do have problems. We do have ups and downs in life, and it's through those ups and downs where we really find God. If our lives were fine, if our lives were straightforward, we wouldn't have a great need for God. But when we go through those difficulties in life, we're more apt to ask God for help. I think the level ground is talking about our emotions, that whatever we face in life, whatever difficulties we face in life, we need to be level with our emotions, with our behaviours, with our attitude. The Bible talks about us having self-control, and I think we need to be measured. And measured in our responses, we need to have balance. And so we can pray that God will make us stable in our emotions, because we know if our emotions are all over the place, it can cause such confusion within us. And so I come back to that verse that talks about making every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Give us that stability, Lord, that however we are, whatever decisions we make in life, we've got that stability. As Yan Yan was saying this morning, those tent poles need to be stable and firm. And God does stretch us. When we step out into new areas that God's leading us, the tent does get stretched. And we can go into ministries where we feel stretched. But we need to have that stability. Those tent stakes need to be strong and stable. And it is only in the Lord Jesus that we know that stability.